meditate on how blessed that you are just for being born in the United States of America. You know, this country, since its founding, has been the most unique and the most blessed nation ever in history. We have been the superpower for many, many years. The country itself makes up the breadbasket of the world. We produce more food, more grains, and other foods than any other nation on the face of the earth. The landscape, we have everything. We have deserts. You know, some deserts are actually beautiful. Not very inviting to live there, but wonderful places to visit when the weather is right. We have mountains. We have our state parks or national parks. I have gathered some pictures of just the scenery from around the nation, and it is just fantastic. Many of the pictures come from our national parks. They're just beautiful. Beautiful. The rivers, we have, you know, better water in this country, water supply than just about anywhere on the face of the earth. We have been blessed in so many ways. Just thinking about our physical life, how much have we been blessed, just physically, you know, apart from being a part of God's church. But where have most of the inventions, most of the advancements for the world, where have they come from? The steam engine, an invention of a United States citizen. The gasoline engine, invented in the United States. The airplane, invented in the United States. The cotton gin, the United States. The telephone, the United States. The telegraph, developed in the United States. Even your cell phone, developed in the United States. You think about all of those blessings, and that's just the physical part of it, brother. The physical part of it. I mean, even aside from thinking about God, you know, God's plan and our future, but we could get into that and think about your calling into God's church. I don't know the exact percentage, but I know that there are tens of millions of people on this earth that they know virtually nothing about God's plan. There are millions and millions of people who think they know something about God's plan who really don't. You know, they're convinced that they're serving God. They don't even keep the right day, you know. And they'll argue from daylight to dark that it doesn't matter, you know, as long as you keep one day, when the Bible is very specific. But think about that blessing. Just think that you're one out of millions and millions and millions of people who actually do understand God's plan, and not only understand it, but know that you have the opportunity to be a part of that coming kingdom of God. The blessings are just absolutely beyond belief when you stop to think about it. How different would it be if you were born in Bangladesh or in Burma or some of those places? How different would your life be here, this physical life? Well, you know, that's the positive side. But I thought of the sermon today not because I want to chastise anybody, but because I began to realize I don't think about those things enough. Like Mr. Call mentioned, you know, it's when you get on up there our age and beyond, you don't remember things the way you used to. I used to have those memory cards and those memory verses too, and I could turn right to the scripture, the chapter and verse, and I knew where they were, and I could quote them verbatim. Now, most of the time I can maybe come up with one word that's in the verse. The rest of my memory is absent for the time being, but I've got a computer. I can take that one word and go to my computer, and my computer still remembers. So I depend on it a great deal. Thinking about that, I was very, very tempted to say, I'm not going to give a sermon today. I intended to prepare it Friday. And, you know, I don't get up real early. I stay up late and sleep late. And along in the afternoon when I was ready to get the sermon, the power went off. And like I just mentioned, I'm kind of dependent on my computer. I could get a sermon the old-fashioned way, but it would just take me a lot longer. So I didn't get to do it. And then, I think that might have been, that was Thursday I was talking about power wells. And then Friday, I had to get up. I didn't get up. I didn't go to bed Thursday night. I had to leave at 2 o'clock in the morning, which is about the time I normally go to bed, and went to Lexington to take my son up there for his operation, and I left him there, and I came on back home, and wouldn't you know, while I was in Lexington, the brakes went out, and I was driving his car, and I stopped and bought brake fluid two different times, and put brake fluid in the car about five times on the way home and finally got it on. But anyway, that's why I almost decided I'm not going to give this sermon. I'm not ready. I can't do it. And then I started thinking, well, I don't want to put that load on Mr. Call. Having to deal with it at the last minute, and it's not time to get some of the newer guys up in Portsmouth to come up with a sermon. They'd be in the same shape I was in. Anyway, that's the kind of thing we often face, and finally I decided, well, yeah, I'll do it. I'll depend on God. It might work out. So, here we go. Do you do like I do and think about the negative? We've all got problems. God says we're going to go through tribulation. We've got them. I just made the announcements. You know, there are people that are sick. A lot of us have health problems. We have financial problems. It gets harder and harder to pay the bills and come out ahead, you know, month to month. We have family. Most of us have family that's not even in the church. We have to deal with those problems. As we get older, our strength, you know, I know this personally, our strength is not what it used to be. And as far as stamina goes, my stamina is not anywhere near what it used to be. I used to be able to work hard. I mean, hard labor for 12 or 14 hours. Well, if I last 4 hours now, I'm doing real great. But with all of those problems that we all deal with, it tends to consume us. You know, we're so busy dealing with the emergencies and the problems that come up from time to time. When you're hurting, what do you think about? You know, you're almost consumed with the pain. I've got to do something. If you're laying down, maybe I'll feel better if I get up. Or if I'm up, maybe I'll feel better in the bed. But it almost consumes you. And I'm guilty. And then I started thinking about it. You know, we do really have so much to be thankful for. And I want to go through a lot of single verses in Psalms going from, you know, here and there in Psalms and other places. But the first verse I'd like for you to turn to is 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 8. First Chronicles 16 in verse 8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. And you know, just like in the introduction, I was talking about all the blessings and what God has given us. If we concentrate on making known the deeds of God among the people, that is going to give, that itself is going to give us a positive attitude. It's going to lead us to give thanks to God. You know, thank you, God, for all of these blessings. Thank you for everything that you've done. And no matter how bad things are today, we know that there is a wonderful, positive future for each one of us if we just endure to the end, continue to obey God. There's a lot of repetition in these verses, but I decided to go through them anyway because the repetition shows how important it is to God Himself to give thanks. You know, in this society, more and more the next generation coming on seems to be less thankful than the previous generation. You know, Tom Brokaw, I believe it was, wrote a book about the greatest generation, talking about the young men who you know, among the Allies, who fought and won in World War II and the tremendous sacrifice that they made. We don't have as many people with that kind of determination and character today. We just don't. I know, you know, we have the Special Forces, we have the Green Berets, we have the Navy SEALs, and it's fantastic what they do. They're great, capable people, but not the same number that we used to have in this nation. So we have the next generation less thankful, but more dependent, more demanding. We have the young people demanding of the parents more and more, and less appreciative of what their parents have done for them. You know, every halfway decent parent has made great sacrifices for their own children, you know, because the child is born helpless, absolutely dependent on their parents. You take care of them. And as parents, we like to see a child mature and grow and come to the point where they're thankful. They say, thank you, Dad. Thank you, Mom. I do appreciate, you know, what you've done for me. I appreciate how you've taken care of me. You've even sacrificed to give me things that I didn't have to have, but I wanted, and you made a way to provide it. We liked to hear that from our children. So let's translate that into God. God is a Father. He likes to hear from us. Say, thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for allowing me to be born in the United States of America. Thank you for opening up my mind so that now I can understand your word better than 99% of the people in the whole world. If you go to Psalms, and I too will cover quite a few verses in Psalms, but first one, Psalm 18, verse 49. Psalm 18, verse 49. Therefore will I give thanks unto you, O Lord, among the heathen. You know, that's where we live. As God's people, we live among the heathen. And sing praises unto your name. That's what we do in the song services, praises to God. Go down to Psalms 30 in verse 4. The Psalms basically are songs themselves. And this is David's writing. David's, you know, the man after God's own heart. In Psalm 30, verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O you saints of His. That's us. That's not the people that the Pope says are the saints. It says, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Sing praises and give thanks. Same chapter, verse 12. Psalm 30, 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee, and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto You forever. You know, without ceasing, constantly. You might want to hold your finger there in Psalms. We'll come back. Well, let's just go on. In Psalm 75, I'll get those out of the way first. Psalm 75, verse 1. Unto You, O God, do we give thanks. Unto You do we give thanks. For that Your name is near Your wonder, for that Your name is near Thy wondrous works declare. Again, thinking about, you know, just the beauty of the creation, especially in this country we're blessed to be a citizen of. Your wondrous works declare. And declaring God's works and thinking about those things that He created, that leads us into a positive attitude. It gets their mind off of the fact, oh boy, I just can't work like I used to. My strength is not there anymore to the same degree. It gets their mind off of that. It gets their mind on to the positive things of God. You know, the things He has in store, the things He's already done for us and will do. Psalm 92 in verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto Your name, O Most High. Psalm 97 and verse 12. Psalm 97, verse 12. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. You know, think about God's greatness and rejoice. Psalm 100 and verse 4. David wrote an awful lot about giving thanks to God and having a positive attitude, showing appreciation. Verse 4 of Psalm 100. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. You know, I've often heard it said that when God repeats something twice in the Bible, it's important, you know, sit up and take notice. But here in Psalms, how many times, just in Psalms alone and even throughout the Bible, how many times are we instructed to say, in effect, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. I know I'm blessed. Psalm 105, verse 1. And this very phrase is repeated a number of times exactly. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 105, verse 1. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. for that very same phrase, we could go to Psalm 106, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. You know that exact phrase. Now, let's spend a little time in the New Testament here. We spent quite a bit of time here in Psalms. In Romans, verse 1, chapter 1, excuse me, Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their foolish heart was darkened. One of the reasons, because they did not say, thank you, God. They did not appreciate the great good that God has done for all mankind, and especially those who he has called to be among the first in the first resurrection, to be in his kingdom at that time. That fits in with the passage that I've read over and over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says a similar thing, and it does have to do with being thankful, giving thanks. You know, loving God is a part of being thankful, or vice versa. Being thankful is a part of loving God. That's the way we show that we love God. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Then shall, this is the time right at the end. It's talking about just before Christ returns. Verse 8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. This is someone with Satan's spirit who is basically controlled by Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and that certainly will deceive the multitudes on the earth. The vast majority of people are going to be deceived because this individual, controlled by Satan, is going to do miracles. Verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be, King James, says damned, that they might be damned. A better translation is that they might be judged. The people who don't understand God's way today, I mean, they're not all sentenced to non-existence, eternal death. They're not damned in that way. They're sentenced to be judged. Each and every one of us will pay for our own sins. And we are, each one, sinners. We are sinners. You know, God tells us that. That they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And today, everywhere we look, we see people just consumed with their pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, I don't listen to comedians anymore. They've gotten so corrupt. You know, they're so-called funny stories and jokes are not fit to be listened to. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, I want to emphasize that this idea is carried out in the New Testament as well as in Psalms and the Old Testament. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let your requests be known. That's okay. You know, God says do that. But do it with thanksgiving. And again, you know, that's why I decided on this subject, because I realize I myself do my most fervent praying when I need something. I have not done my most fervent praying when I just got on my knees and say, thank you, God. Just thank you. I know that you have done so much for me in so many ways. And I suspect that some of you, if not all of you, have done the same thing. That you can get quite fervent in prayer when you really need something. When the chips are down, you know, we tend to do our most fervent praying. Now, in Colossians 2, verse 7. Colossians 2, verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Just abounding with thanksgiving. We should do much more of that than requesting or demanding that others do for us. We should be thankful for what we do have, for what we do receive that is good. In Galatians 3, I beg your pardon, that's Colossians 3 that I want to turn to. Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. Be thankful. Colossians 4, verse 2. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Now, I want to deal with a passage here that is so misinterpreted by mainstream religion in this country and probably people who call him Christian throughout the world. But it's in 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. And I'll read verses 1 through 5. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. That's one of the things that will happen, you know, that you're more righteous if you don't get married. And that's one of the lies. And commanding to abstain from meats. Oh, the Protestants love to get into this verse. But going on, when it says abstain from meats, you've got to ask what meats. And it tells us immediately, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. Now, it's meats that God created to be received of those that believe the truth. What if you don't believe the truth? It doesn't apply to them. It doesn't apply to people who doesn't believe God's word, because people who believe God's word, they know what it says in Leviticus. You don't eat mice. You don't eat snails. When I was on Guam and by 1950, there was two big Air Force airstrips there in addition to a naval airstrip, but there were too many airstrips on a small island, so they had one closed down. And, you know, it was just a big old paved concrete for miles. And I never did go out there myself, but I heard some of the guys talk about going out there with a Jeep and that and drive on that concrete. And they say it's like on a sheet of ice. The snails would come out on that concrete at night, and they'd run over them, and they'd just be one slick mess. And the reason there were so many big snails, you know, oh, they were monstrous things. The Japanese, when they occupied the island, they imported them onto Guam because they considered snails a delicacy. You know, they had lots of snails to eat. Anyway, getting back to the story here, this verse 3. You need to consider every part of this verse 3, especially commanding to abstain from meats. What meats? Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving. To who? Who is it directed to? To them which believe and know the truth. Well, I know the truth, and I know God didn't create snails for me to eat. But that's not the way the Protestants tell it. They say, oh, it's all right. You know, we can go on a rattlesnake hunt like they do out in Oklahoma, and we'll just eat the rattlesnakes. Verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. It does say nothing to be refused. I mean, we can't absolutely refuse the rattlesnakes on the face of the earth and get rid of every last one of them. God created them for a purpose. There was a story not too long ago, and I hope it was false, but there was a rumor went around that they had imported a whole bunch of rattlesnakes into western Kentucky, because some bird, I forget which one, was getting out of control, and they knew the rattlesnakes like to eat the eggs of that bird. Something, you know, man gets into. But the point I want to make here, the fact that it says nothing to be refused, it doesn't say that you can eat anything you want to. We just disproved that idea in verse 3. It said, if it be received with thanksgiving. And then going on to either make it more clear in verse 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Of course, we pray over our food, but that alone doesn't set it apart. It takes God's word to set it apart. And God's word is, a part of it is found in Leviticus. It tells us what we can eat. It tells us what we should not eat. You know, I wanted to get into that verse because I wanted to take the time to refute what the Protestants and Catholics and I guess a lot of others teach about clean and unclean meats. God's word is very clear. We eat the foods that he says it's all right for us to eat, and we avoid those that he says we should not eat. Now, for one final verse, I want to go to Revelation 7, because this passage is talking about John and his vision of going into the third heaven and appearing before God. And the vision was so real that John even said he doesn't really know whether he was actually there or if it was just his spirit was there. But at any rate, it seemed very, very real to John when he saw all of this. In Revelation 7, verse 11. Excuse me. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. God loves for us to come back and say thank you. He loves for us to dwell on it, to spend more time appreciating the great good that He's done for us and millions and billions and billions of people, and less time on the fact that woe is me, you know, I've got problems. I know we all do, but that's not what we should be focused on. We should be focused on thanking God.